Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Q1 FY25 earnings conference call of Tata Chemicals Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Gavin Desa from CDR India. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Sagar. Good day, everyone, and thank you for joining us on Tata Chemicals Q1 FY25 earnings conference call. We have with us today Mr. R. Mukundan, the Managing Director and CEO, and Mr. Nandakumar Tirumalai, the Chief Financial Officer. Before we begin, I would like to mention that some of the statements made in today's discussions may be forward-looking in nature and may involve risks and uncertainties. I'd also like to state that the duration of this call will not exceed 55 minutes. I now invite Mr. R. Mukundan to begin proceedings of the call. Over to you, Mukund.
Thank you, Gavin. Good evening. Welcome, everyone, to our Q1 FY25 earnings call. I have alongside with me Mr. Nandakumar Tirumalai, our CFO. I'll start the discussion with a brief overview of our operational highlights, following which Nandu can walk you through financial performance. Overall, on the industry, I think the demand has been fairly stable across all end users. Demand for detergents, as you usually know, within India, goes through a bit of moderation during monsoon and then picks up again very, very strongly after winter and goes on to remain robust. Demand for flat container glass and solar glass is good. In North America, while the demand is flat, Europe experienced muted demand, and Chinese soda ash demand was fairly strong between Jan and May, and demand for solar glass and lithium carbonate was on a strong footing within China, and in Americas, the demand was more or less flat. Imports into India, while they did go up between Jan to May, it has moderated post that, and mainly on account of higher freight rates due to tensions in Middle East. U.S. operational issues, most of the companies have been able to resolve them, and most of the units in U.S. are operating at normal speed, normal operating levels. Chinese soda ash operation, however, was slightly reduced due to some issues in Inner Mongolia, and this also partly we heard was because of some issues related to quality improvement which was needed in the product. So overall, I think the demand-supply situation remains fairly balanced, and we do believe that this situation is likely to continue for a couple of more quarters. Sequentially, company's overall sales volume grew marginally, and India had stable volumes. Prices were lower. During the quarter, we commissioned 2.3 lakh tons of soda ash at Mithapur. This capacity will come on stream in the coming months. Export market in U.S. Saw low volume, but between the last year of quarter one of last year and this year, it is an increase. Sequentially, the export pricing was better. UK had stable volumes, however, the prices had softened. Kenya saw marginally higher volume and marginally higher prices sequentially. Rallis quarter one was a mixed quarter. Domestic business performed well, and there was a pricing pressure on export markets. So overall, I think this quarter has played out exactly as we had anticipated. The operations have performed to a plan. We continue to focus on ensuring that we serve our customers well. We focus on being cost competitive and continue to deliver on the CapEx plan on schedule. We would bring on stream several of the CapEx which we had planned, including the bicarbonate capacity of 70,000 and also the pharmaceutical salt by second half of this year in UK. So all in all, it's focus on operations, efficient operations, and servicing customers well. With this, I will hand over to the moderator to open for Q&A.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question is from the line of Saurabh Jain from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you so much for the opportunity. My first question is regarding to one of the US players announcing a price increase, I think a couple of months back. So have Tata Chemicals also taken such kind of a price increase? And, you know, if yes, then what is the expectation of the margin profile in the US going forward?
See, actually, US, you would see that the domestic market is mostly annual contracts. So you would find right up to December, right through December, the domestic prices will remain same. Move in a very narrow band and almost stable. However, the export prices, we have seen a bit of up movement in the Southeast Asian markets. And we will continue to be in sync with the market.
So, do you expect that this benefit will, you know, flow to you in the second quarter, which may result in further improvement in the margin profile for the US?
The sales to Southeast Asia, sequentially, as we book the orders, I think will come into play in the export markets. The domestic markets, I think it will be better that we speak to you closer to the month of Jan, when the new contracts will be negotiated.
So what I want to understand, on the export side at least, would you see a benefit on the margins in the future quarters?
Yeah, I think as we service these orders, they are at a slightly higher price.
Okay, so do you believe more than $50 a ton kind of a EBITDA margin is possible?
No, I think the move in the market has been between $10 and $20 at best.
Okay. Understood. Again, the same thing for UK. What happened in the UK geography this quarter? There has been a collapse in the margin. I thought it's a fixed margin contract for this week.
The UK, there is a bit of an impact of volume. The second one is that I think there's been a drop in the earnings which we used to get from energy business, which means we were supplying wired energy to the grid. That has impacted the margin for soda ash because, I think UK, we expect a similar kind of margin to run through the year.
Okay, so what you delivered in the first quarter, this kind of margin would continue for the rest of the year.
Yeah.
Okay, and my last question before I join back the queue is that there has been a lot of, you know, rainfall in, you know, some of the Gujarat regions, very heavy rainfall. Are you seeing any sort of possible, you know, production disruptions for your salt business, and that may help you to procure some salt from your vendors? Is that something kind of a scenario that is happening?
Actually, as far as we are concerned, we would continue to, at least I can speak up to today, we expect we to be on track for delivering numbers as we have planned. This will be numbers in terms of volume ahead of what we had last year.
Okay. Okay, so no disruption as such, is that in attribution?
We haven't seen, and you'll have to wait till the month of September because monsoon is fairly elongated. Hopefully, the situation remains as we have seen up to now.
So, thank you so much. I'll join back the queue.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sumant Kumar from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
So, sir, can you talk about the Kenya sequential margin decline? Is all because of the prices is firmed up, but our margin is not has declined sequentially.
The Kenya margin is, I think, in terms of the per ton margin, it is in sync with the market pricing is in sync with what we are seeing across the board. However, there was a slightly higher variable cost, mainly due to cost which we had in terms of realization, which is really the shipping and transportation cost was slightly higher this quarter. We expect them to normalize.
Can you talk about the demand supply scenario currently in soda ash?
We are fully sold out and we expect to remain fully sold out.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ankur Periwal from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. First question on the India business, on the capacity expansion for sodium bicarbonate. Just trying to get some clarity. We have already expanded 70,000 tons and we are going to expand 70 further, is it?
Yeah, 70 has already come on stream. I think another 70 will come somewhere around October, middle October end.
Sure, and this will aggregate to around 290,000 ton of capacity.
That's right.
How do you look at the volume growth in the bicarb here? Historically, the numbers have been slightly slower, but given that we have ample capacity now, any thoughts there?
I think your point about full utilization, I think this should happen through the year. So we expect the first stream should get fully absorbed during the year and the balance maybe by quarter one of next year. It may be even faster than that, but I think our teams are working to make sure the market is able to absorb the volume. The bicarb, India has much lesser consumption of bicarb than other markets, and we do expect that this supply will drive some of the demand.
Sure. So, sorry if I got you right. You are saying optimum utilization by the end of this financial year.
What I was saying is that the first 0.7 should get fully absorbed during the year, and second 0.7, depending on how the market evolves, our plan was to sort of get it done by quarter one of next year. But it could be faster depending on how the market, how we are able to service the market.
Sure. And last question on the domestic, which is India's EBITDA improvement on a Q1Q basis. Any specific drivers here? How should we look at that business, that margin improvement?
Probably it's going to be stable. I don't think there's going to be... See, most of the numbers will be stable. There was a question on Kenya. I think that would also normalize because there was some one-off shipping and one-off variable costs which sort of impacted us. So we see nothing in on horizon which is going to impact our elements right through December.
Okay. Fair enough, sir. That's it from my side. Thank you a lot.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vivek Rajamani from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Two questions. Firstly, on pricing on both the India and the US, would it be fair to say that the improvement that we saw in the implied prices and margins was more due to the supply-driven relief that you were seeing in this quarter, because you mentioned demand was broadly flat? That was the first question on pricing. And secondly, on demand, if you could just give some color on demand by geography and some key market in terms of what you've been seeing, after the June quarter. Thank you.
So in terms of demand situation, let me just say this, that what I'm saying, you must take it with a bit of caution, because while I said there's a stable demand, Europe is an area where muted demand is being seen. If you leave that aside, there are some... The growth we have seen in Chinese demand, we need to be very watchful whether that continues, because the general news from on all other front is that there could be some bit of softness if things don't go well. But I think the issue is that while this news has been around, the demand has been fairly good. So we are not able to sort of figure out the equation as it's playing out, so we remain watchful. As far as South America and North America is concerned, especially on the Southern American side, you would know already the lithium prices are at the bottom, and the solar glass production also, the supply is ahead of the demand seen by the module manufacturers. So what we are seeing is that the demand for soda ash has continued to be fine, but the market conditions hopefully for our customers have bottomed out and it should start improving. They've gone through a bit of a difficult period in the last two quarters. We are watching if there are early signs of that happening. At the same time, I think on the Chinese side, we need to be watchful of any signs of softness. So on one side, the market could move in the positive direction. On the other side, you would have a potential. So that's why we said it's balanced right up to quarter three. But as signals come, we will sort of highlight them to you maybe the next quarter if we pick up anything different.
Sure, sir. That's very helpful. And if I could just clarify on the supply side as well, do you see a significantly more supply-driven relief this quarter? Because you did mention that there were issues on Mongolia.
Correct. I think supply side, as I said, there's been an increase in freight rates, mainly on account of the tension which you're seeing in Middle East and other parts of the world. And that has led to some kind of, certainly some material not arriving and into the Asian market. The second piece on the supply side, as I mentioned, within China again, especially for solar glass, which needs low iron, what we have picked up is that Inner Mongolian plant, the iron content is slightly high, so they're not able to service the solar glass demand. So there are very product-specific issues on supply side. Barring these two, rest of the market is we are not seeing any major changes in terms of contraction of supply. So there is one quality-related supply contraction. Other one is a supply chain-related contraction.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abhijit Akella from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. So the India costs seem to have declined quite meaningfully on a quarter-on-quarter basis, leading to some margin expansion. So just wondering what the reasons for those might have been. And in the U.S. as well, we've seen some improvement in realization this quarter along with EBITDA per ton. So if you could please just shed some light on both these aspects.
So it's mainly on account of sequentially, if you see the energy and fuel costs and the cost of some of the materials have trended down, and that has driven mostly the reduction. So if you see power and fuel, and that's been one of the drivers. And the other element, I would say, in U.S. again, it's mainly steady production has meant that they have been able to maintain both efficiency and the cost line within control.
Got it. And the debt numbers seem to have increased quite meaningfully sequentially. Is this just a precursor to the startup of the new capacity in India and therefore this should normalize, or how should we read the debt trend?
The working capital increase of 800 odd, 850 odd crore which has happened should normalize through the year. We are seeing it happen every year that before monsoon we tend to stock up some of the material because we are now wanting to be safe than running short of these materials. The monsoon sometimes does drag on a bit longer. And the second piece is that about 170 odd crore is an impact of capitalization of warehouse which we have taken on lease. So that's what the accounting norm is. Even though it goes through P&L, we have to also end up capitalizing. That has led to about 170 odd crore impact.
Thank you. That's helpful. Just one last quick thing for me. The China demand you mentioned in your opening remarks was strong from Jan through May. So post May, has it softened or do we just not have data at this point in time?
We think it is holding well, but only thing we need to be watchful because if you see the news flow which has come both in terms of, you know, their vehicles getting stranded in Europe. If you look at the kind of the news flow which is coming in terms of many of the countries wanting a local production, I think we are watching all this, especially because China is such a big player in solar modules, in also such a big player in lithium EV. So, and it's a big part of the demand growth as we've seen. So anything happening in that in that sustainability space. It may be a temporary blip, Abhijit, but I think we need to, while we all believe that sustainability is a long-term trend, but at least from the end user, we are seeing some bit of softness coming through. So this is why we are watchful.
Understood. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of S. Ramesh from Nirmal Bang Equities. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you very much. So if you look at the current pricing and margin environment, what is the kind of sense you have in terms of when you can show year-on-year growth in EBITDA? In terms of the interest expense because of the increase in your debt, what is the kind of increase in debt we should expect for the year? Will be similar to the what we have seen in the first quarter? And will you be able to reduce that trend, say, next year by repaying some of the debt?
On debt, I'll have Nandu to come in. But on in terms of the... See, even if the margin profile remains the same, let me just say this. The capacity which is getting commissioned as we speak through the year, next year should give us at least 400 crore bump up in the EBITDA. So I think if these conditions persist, that is what we think will happen if we look at all the salt bicarb and soda ash and the pharmaceutical salt capacity getting commissioned. So that keeping everything constant. But if market conditions improve, as we are saying, in some places it has started to improve. But if the trend continues, if the trend continues, we need to be watchful in this bit of a difficult, volatile environment. I think it's only going to be a plus point. We see that till December we are clear. We need to be watchful. We'll update as we move along because our visibility doesn't extend beyond that today.
Yeah, also on the entire working capital debt, Ramesh, that will be unwinding by Q2 or Q3 as we start using all the stocks. So Q1 is an aberration in terms of the higher working capital loan that will get unbound as we go by. So that number will come down going forward in India.
Okay, so just to clarify the increase in EBITDA, you mentioned it's 400 crores. If you take the 230,000 of soda ash, the increase in bicarb and the pharmaceutical salt.
All told. If you take a full year impact of that, that will be the number. Yeah.
That including the entire 140,000 expansion in bicarb, right?
All that put together.
So in terms of how you see the global supply getting rationalized, because that's been one challenge. So do you see any further reduction in the operable capacity or closures? How do you see the Inner Mongolia capacity utilization ramp up, also impacting
Let me highlight. Inner Mongolia capacity is fully commissioned, fully on stream. They're having some quality issues with specific segments of the market. They need to address it. Hopefully they address it. These are technical matters which companies do take a bit of time, but they finally address it. So if you ask me, any guess, it's anybody's guess. But it's not going to last forever. Second is, as far as capacity rationalization is concerned, that you will see when the news happens. But we've always maintained that the capacity which will come under immediate pressure should be if the Turkish natural production starts to push the European capacities. We have not seen them come off, but we all know where the numbers are the weakest. You know our own numbers. So we'll have to watch that space carefully. Hello?
I believe the line for the participant has been dropped, so we'll move on to the next question. And our next follow-up question, again, is from the line of Abhijit Akella. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, thank you so much for the follow-up. Just a quick one. On the UK expansion, could you please just help us with the capacity over there, the bicarb capacity and the pharma-grade salt? What's the capacity number there?
No, the bicarb is constant. It's the pharmaceutical salt which we are commissioned. About 30,000 pharmaceutical?
70,000
is the pharmaceutical.
Okay, so the 400 crore incremental EBITDA we are talking about is basically 70,000 tons of salt from the UK. along with the India expansion you've talked about.
Yeah, it is all included. UK pharmaceutical salt, India soda ash, salt and bicarb, everything put together gives us a bit of bump up of about 400 odd crores.
Yeah. And the 230,000 tons salt in India, is any part of that currently being sold, or it's pretty much at zero base right now?
It will start to go to the market. As of first quarter, I would say that there is a very small increase quarter on quarter, year on year numbers. Sequentially, in fact, there is a bit of a reduction. As you know, during monsoon, some of these people do tend to bring stocks down of especially these sort of materials. And that's what has happened. But otherwise, we do believe that sequentially every year, the salt will continue to grow at about 2 to 3%. In some years, it may grow at 3 to 5%.
Right. And just one last thing, the pharma salt, what sort of margin differential does it enjoy over the normal salt that we sell?
It has a higher margin, but I've given you a total picture.
Okay, appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rohit Nagraj from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. So first question, I hope I'm audible. The first question is that in the previous call, we had mentioned in a couple of calls that the market is oversupplied. And now we are talking about the balanced market. There have been some logistic challenges, there have been some quality issues. But is it that, and since there are no capacities which have gone off stream or probably closures because of maintenance, there is a inventory in the system, and because of the logistic or any other challenges, it is not coming to the market, and once these are probably getting taken care of, this inventory again will come back into the system and probably will have some bit of disbalance again. So just wanted your thoughts on this. Thank you.
See, this current situation we are in is slightly impact of the two factors you highlighted. And if you look at India, inventory levels actually are lower today than before. And I think this is a combination of, as somebody highlighted, there were some constraints which came on supply side and some uptick which happened on demand, and that got the system under a bit of a stretch, and there was a drawdown on inventory across. So that's the situation we are in.
Sure, this is helpful. The second question, again, slightly delving into China. So the current capacity probably from your estimates could be about 5.5 million tons, and that is completely operable. And given that the pricing environment in China still remains benign, the current pricing, does it hold the element of, again, some bit of demand-supply imbalance or the higher logistic cost? And once this factor normalizes, probably the pricing across other geographies again will start normalizing? And what is your sense in terms of the Chinese capacity? Will it stop here, or is it going to increase from the 5.5 million tons to any other incremental number? Thank you.
So I had highlighted again, I think if you look at short term, it will go through all these blips we're talking about. Long term, as I'd mentioned, a natural capacity will start to pressure closest synthetic capacities. And that will play out even in China. And China has plants which are, I would say, competitive scale, and also plants which are subscale. So that playout will happen in that local market, not in 1 year, 2 years, but I think it will play out over 2-3 years. So leaving that aside, the current situation we have faced is very unique. Whether it corrects itself in 6 months, 12 months, we don't know. And then there is a whole lot of geopolitics which is extremely difficult for us to sort of decipher and read. But we will continue to engage with customers, with market participants to best understand. And our understanding is it seems okay till December, but beyond December, we can't stay. So we'll have to wait for next quarter.
Sure, sir. This is helpful. Thanks for all the answers and all the best. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of S. Ramesh from Nirmal Bang Equities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, so if you look at the Indian automobile sector, there is some concern about a slowdown. Does that concern you in terms of the growth in soda ash demand in India? And secondly, if you're looking at the solar glass from India, do you see incremental production in solar glass, especially after the import duty imposed on imports? Will it be a positive for growth in that segment, say, at least over the next 2 years?
See, really, if you say the demand, as you had mentioned that, every 10 gigawatt needs a million tons. So I think the demand for solar glass will continue to grow, especially if government is on track in terms of ensuring solar power plays a key role. And solar power today is probably the one which is going to play, let's say, elemental role in shift to renewable in many ways. The second piece around domestic availability and domestic growth, I think we are in a very balanced phase, and that situation is likely to continue. If you look at imports as a share, I think the imports are down, if I'm right, from 31% to 23% now, about 8% drop, and that has been picked up by domestic players broadly.
Okay, so just one last thought on the U.S. growth in both domestic and export market. So is that trajectory likely to be sustained in the next 9 months, and do you see an improvement in, say, FY26 given the underlying demand in the end-use segment there?
So let me state it differently. Except in UK, we do believe that we should either be better in volume terms or at least at the same level as last year in all the geographies. In fact, India and US will show if we run our operations well, that is within our own remit and what we need to do. Market is not the constraint for us to deliver higher volumes.
Thank you very much, and wish you all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Saket Kapoor from Kapoor & Co. Please go ahead.
Yeah, namaskar sir, and thank you for the opportunity. So you alluded to the fact that the Q1 performance for UK is what things are going to be for the current year. So we had PBT losses of 60 crores for the first quarter. So this will be the trend for going ahead also, or what factors should undermine this? Losses.
See, within the number in UK, there is a one-off, which is, we had a one-off payment of 13 odd crores, which was a fine which we had paid, and we had actually declared that to SEBI. So if you remove that, the 60 should read more close to 45. I think that now run rate will continue. It may be less. See, the issue in UK is that if, let us say, the renewable power generation there reduces, we would probably be closer to 30-odd figure if the renewable power does not reduce. Sorry, they have high level of wind energy and generation. It will be close to about 45 crore. That's the kind of range it will fluctuate between in negative terms.
And so what factors would change? What steps will we be taking to reduce these losses? Because this will be a big gain on the number if you take the annualized number of 200 plus 250 crore rather. That's a big amount.
No, it's not 200. So let me correct. I think it is, as I said, between 30 and 40 odd crore. Okay. So if you say that for the year, it's likely to be the number closer to 200 odd crore if everything continues as is. The team is working on a plan, and let them execute the plan, and it's premature for us to sort of highlight. Obviously, we want the losses to reduce to zero, and that's the plan they are working to. And right now, it is still in, finalization phase, and they will come back with specifics. It includes a bit of cost rationalization and portfolio readjustment, which will partly come into play in the second half with the pharmaceutical plant getting pharmaceutical salt unit getting commissioned, with a higher grade of bicarbonate getting sold. So all these are part of that process.
Okay. So that will lower the losses to some extent.
Yeah, that will lower, and obviously we want to end up in a situation by the time the year ends, we are at least talking about a much leaner number than what we are speaking today.
Okay. And sir, when we look at this capacity augmentation for the sodium bicarb 70 and then further 70, and now totaling to 290 for us, sir, what are the main demand drivers? And as I think you mentioned that it is not domestic demand that is that will be catering to. So just correct me there. How are we going to run at high utilization levels? So where are the demand drivers from sodium bicarbonate?
So on sodium bicarbonate, in my there's food, feed, and pharma, and the feed market is growing well. For example, for cattle population, addition of sodium bicarb, it increases the milk production. It also has a positive impact on the environment. So I think for cattle, it's clearly the additive which we are promoting. In terms of food, certainly it has a positive impact on several of the it basically softens the food in a way that other elements cannot do in a benign manner. And pharmaceutical, again, there is an application which. And in addition to that, there is a flue gas treatment market, which all the coal-fired plants, especially of PSUs like NTPC, they are now beginning to use that mainly for desulfurization, and that again is a one of the key drivers, because the environment norm for India will continue to use coal for some bit of time, and we will have coal plants for at least the next 10, 15, 20 years, and all these plants with tightening norms will need to use the various processes to desulfurize. These are driving the demand, and clearly we see them to continue to move up, and our business plan does say it will get absorbed.
Right, sir. And last point about the employee cost also, sir. Now with realizations lower and the dynamics changing, the impact of higher or rather employee cost is also significant. So what's the thought process behind, or this is the quarterly number that we are going to, the run rate will continue to 480 levels?
In terms of employee numbers, as you would see, in some quarters it does bump up because that's the quarter in which we pay the variable pay and other elements. But if you take it normally through the year, I think it should be more or less stable. We are extremely focused on employee productivity, using all the tools to grow. And as I said, as new capacities come on stream, one of the benefits is the operating leverage we have in all our units, because these are all coming in brownfield sites. There are not any new sites getting opened. So that benefit will flow through.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mithil Bua from Unlisted India. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. I had a couple of questions. The first one being, we have seen sodium ion batteries emerging as an alternative to lithium ion. So as sodium ion requires soda ash, so what does the management see the impact on the demand for soda ash because of this?
You want to ask your next question also?
Yeah, so the next question is on the battery recycling, the waste and the e-waste recycling. As this is a big opportunity going ahead, so the management see that as a big opportunity in solving the issue?
So we have nothing specific to state except that our teams are looking. And if anything substantial does happen, because we had done the battery recycling of the mobile and the laptop batteries, and that was mainly dependent on the cobalt pricing. But there's a need for technology as far as the vehicle recycling is concerned to have the right approach for LFP, where we have to make them into useful product. And as you know, cobalt is highly valued, whereas the LFP ingredients are not that valued. And I think that work is underway, and there's nothing more beyond saying that work is underway. Sodium ion battery, even our team is working. And I think for stationary application, we do see that as a great alternative today. But for mobile applications, I think mobility applications for cars, China seems to have got a very good energy density. We are able to get about 120, 130, but China seems to have hit a figure of 160, 170. Obviously, at that number, it becomes a viable alternate. But we'll have to see how that evolves. But clearly, it is an opportunity for soda ash business, and we'll continue to keep a close watch on it. And also, if we can get our own solutions, we will talk about it. But as of now, it's all in the lab in Pune.
On the e-waste recycling, like the electronics.
On e-waste, as I mentioned, the large chunk of it again will come from mobility applications. And there, India is likely to remain a LFP market. And because India is likely a LFP market, we need technology slightly different, which uses NMC. NMC profitability depends on cobalt. In LFP, it is not there. So our teams are working on it. There are no concrete plan for me to sort of mention anything to our stakeholders today.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take one last question from the line of Santosh Kumar Keshri from Keshri Finance. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Am I audible?
Yeah.
Okay. So I just have a very big question. Last year, we have been showing good amount of loss. What happened in this year?
Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Keshri. We are not able to hear you clearly. There is a lot of background noise from your background.
Okay. Is it better now?
Yeah.
Slightly better, sir. Yes, go ahead.
Yeah. So my question is that the last year we were paying good amount of profit and our profit was like really good. Now this year what happened that we are not making the profit? I don't know whether you have answered this.
Can't hear you clearly.
Okay. So hi, sir. I'll then write an email to you. I'm so sorry.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you. As I mentioned, our visibility in terms of markets says that we are in a zone of, let's say, narrow band of movement, and our teams are well positioned to ensure that we deliver on servicing our customers well. We focus on competitive operations and delivering on capex for growth of volume. At the same time, as Nandu has already highlighted, every surplus we have, we will deploy towards debt repayment. These remain our priorities. And certainly, as we get greater clarity on the market going forward, we will highlight them to you. This visibility, as I said, is up to December. We remain very vigilant because these are times one needs to be extremely vigilant with the kind of market conditions we have. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Tata Chemicals Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.